Let's see where we get. Okay, so last time we talked about the massive failure and the sadness and the pain that the princess had. And now chapter 13, obviously after the first failure, she has to give him new instructions. We talked about the instructions. She told him, "B'chein tashav l'cha makom," you should choose for yourself a place. "V'teishav gam kein shana," and you should wait a whole nother year, kana, like we talked about before. "B'yom ha'acharon," then on the last day you could eat, just don't sleep. So she removes the restriction of eating. Not a big deal. You could eat. Just don't sleep. And don't drink wine. Kedesh alatishan. Don't drink wine because wine could bring you to sleep. Kia ikru ashena. And she says the focus now is on sleep. Just don't sleep that last day. That's the only restriction really, right? Take a year. Yearn for me. But the only restriction is sleeping. Bahalach vasakein. He does it. And then, the last day, he was going towards a princess, Vira Mayan, and he sees a river,
spring,
it looks red, and it smells like wine. The Shalas HaMashares, and he asks the Mashares, who all of a sudden shows up again, Harisa Shazeh Mayan, do you see there's such a thing? It should have water in it. He's like blown away. He tastes from it. He falls asleep for many years. 70 years, says Rabbi Nachman. So what's he teaching us? What's he teaching us about tshuva? What the princess is telling the viceroy.
Teaching a few things.
Yeah.
So what I learned is that we think that, let's say, mukta. I like to compare this to mukta. I think that mukta is like the most abstract thing in the world. And like you have in the story in the Gemara where like, I'm going to learn. I'm going to be the one to learn by the flame. And then we like, okay, fine. Don't touch the flame. And then magically puts out the flame and then like, or wait, stops the second and then whatever, then he realizes. And that's all, it doesn't say you can't drink wine. He says the wine can lead you to sleep. So I find that he was taking the risk. I don't think he assumed he's going to fall asleep.
For sure not, right?
For sure not.
Not only did he not assume he's going to fall asleep, he might not have even assumed that it was wine. Meaning he was still risking it by tasting it.
Right.
That it was all risky behavior,
that
right?
I think he knew because he was like double checking. He's like, this is weird, no?
Don't drink wine.
It's all not for a reason.
Not for a reason.
And that's what I'm learning. It's saying don't drink wine because the reason not. Doesn't say you can't. In the last test, it was you're not
like
allowed to
eat a little
and
bit.
You're not allowed to drink.
So it's like a fence.
Right. Right. And we never, and as people, we never get that fence. It's always like,
swimming. I'm not going to build a raft.
You almost want to smack the kid that steps on the sidewalk in between the street more than the kid in the street. The kid in the street, you whack him, he hops, he messed up. Kid on the sidewalk, he never learns his lesson until he's dead.
Risky. It's risky behavior.
It's like worse in a way.
See how far you could go.
Like, what are you doing?
Before
you're just an idiot. The other kid, he's an idiot. The kid's like, what are you doing? You're an idiot? Like, it's almost worse. It's like that. It's like, and don't drink wine because you're going to fall asleep. So like, the guy who drinks wine is like, what are you, an alcoholic? And the other guy's like, what do you think you're going to be the one not to fall asleep? Of course you're going to fall asleep. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest sight that we need to realize that we have these placeholders in our lives that try to keep you safeguarded and everything. And it's almost like, don't do that. It's almost like the immaturity of, I don't need a filter because.
Right.
If you don't need a filter because, then have a filter. What's the problem? Right. So then don't drink.
I'll be careful.
Right.
I'm very careful.
Right. And that's what I think the idea is on the.
That's on a good this, point. She tells him the reason. Like,
right.
You have to set up for yourself guards from failing. And then his mistake is that he's risking it, assuming that he's strong enough not to fall asleep.
Right.
Like even more, I could, even if I chop, maybe I didn't chop its wine, but at the moment that I chopped its wine, even then he was thinking I'm not going to fall asleep.
Right, for sure.
Right.
That's why
I'll be fine.
That's also why, I don't know why 70 may be significant or not, That could be a new generation, but that's why he sleeps for a long time.
One time,
it's not like Shana Acheres.
Right.
It's almost like worse.
One time I learned that 70 could also represent the 70 faces of Torah. So like all levels, a person can fall from all levels of Torah entirely. And like even be so asleep, he's acting like a goy in every sense of the word. There's no Torah. That even if a person falls that asleep,
right?
You know,
there's still more.
There's something else. There's still a way to get out of it.
There's something else, yeah. But that's the fall. The fall here, maybe that's a grape shot. 70 faces of Torah. That's very good. He says over here, 70 is you may shnoseim shivim shana, right? It's an entire lifetime. So what it represents, what you were saying, it represents like you could fall asleep and just sleep for the rest of your life.
Yayin is gematria 70.
Oh.
So you can lose your whole lifetime.
Yeah. Fran, you're checking the math?
No, I'm checking.
Okay. Yayin, 70, you could lose the whole thing. But what's it's really the same idea. Hakpadon sleeping. Dakpadan sleeping is because if you're alive but sleeping, you're not mochin de godless.
Right.
That's when your mochin is shut off. You're not connecting to anything. You're just in sleep mode.
Right. And also,
he quotes over here.
If we could even take a not literal, who said he's sleeping?
That's what I'm saying. If you're alive but living in a stupor, connected from your Yiddishkeit, not connected to your Yiddishkeit.
You're totally detached.
She says, that's what kills you. She says, that's how you lose me again, right? That's why she tells him, stay away from sleep and do whatever you can. And then she adds on a siag, like Ari's saying, a fence. And the siag for that is wine, because wine could lead you to that, right? Again, maybe on this idea of like, you know, alcohol being right on the edge of, you could either abuse it or you could use it to be holy. Right, with Purim coming up, it's a good reminder, right? But it could go two ways.
No, but every time there's wine in Chazal, it's always the ra, not the toif.
It's always the ra. Yain is samach levav
enosh. That's later, but we see it by Noach. We see it by what's it called with Aaron
Akarim. Maybe by Aaron's kids, right?
You see it three times, and then later.
Right.
By Chazal, then you see the adverse when women use wine to save us by Yehudis, but that's the generation.
Interesting.
You see the opposite only later, but in the Torah itself, it's all for that.
That's very interesting. I think I don't know all. I only saw one. I think one Torah from Rabbi Nachman about drinking. Right. I think it's 25. Why did that stick in my head? That's the real question. Because it was about drinking. And it was on Erev Shabbos, and I already had a couple of nights. I think Tanya. No, that's his spot. This. Oh, 26. Tzarech leharchik mishichros. You have to be careful from being drunk. Ludaktik shol lishtos yoser miyachalto. So there's a Torah here about it. But it does seem that he's not saying it's off. It's something that's off limits. It's something you have to be careful with. Tzarech laharchich mishichros, right? You have to be careful with it. Maybe that's the, you know, part of what he's seeding into the story here is be careful, be careful. She's telling him be careful because it could be the end of your connection. It could be the end of your finding the princess. It could be totally the end of it, right? What do you say, Fran? Fran's a big drinker, so he's going to be like, no, it's fine, drink, right?
There's something else going on here.
What?
The first time means from an apple and falls asleep for a long time is from Adam all the way till the Binyan Beis HaMikdash.
Uh-huh.
The second time is the 70 years from Babel, the Golas Babel.
Oh, whoa.
And I think when, I don't know, I just looked at it a little bit in the story.
That's Aryeh Kaplendick.
I think what she...
He has like, his Mahalach is like, that's talking about the whole Klal Yisrael, the lost princesses, Klal Yisrael.
It's too
obvious?
Yeah.
I hear.
It jumps off the page.
Right.
The tapuach and now the 70 years.
Yeah, but
and then when she tries to shake him away.
It's
you
almost,
know what that is?
I'm gonna play.
What's that? What's that?
Before you play the Wasabki, you know when she's shaking.
You're the Mahal.
What that is?
No, I don't.
That's Nehemiah and Ezra trying to take Klal back into Eretz Yisrael.
Trying to bring them
and
back.
They refused to go. Was it?
A couple people went with them, but like that was it.
Who's the first ones? Rubava.
Nechanya.
Right? No. It's assuming that Reb Nachman didn't know that there's a four in Machlokes in the Gemara on what the Eitz HaDaas was, and all four,
none of them are an apple.
It's not a big deal.
It's not an apple.
It's a mushel. For sure not an apple.
It ain't from a tree. It's a mushel. That's always like one of
the things. It's from a fruit tree. It's a mushel. That I'm not
a tree with fruit, right.
But the numbers are so specific.
Yeah.
Mizma Meruba would be up until, I don't know, maybe Matan Tayyar, whatever.
Yeah.
Then the first goal is the 7 years.
That's the only specific.
And now this specifically, she's trying to wake him up, which I did peek ahead a little bit. It makes a lot of sense. That's when Hashem tried to get them to go back early, and they didn't want to go.
So they're not going back.
Right. Then the whole Purim story happened.
Cool.
But wait. That leads to like a whole new train of thought. What was the Indian? What was the sign here? Sounds like the sign wasn't about falling asleep. She didn't tell him that. If she did tell him, Dekker is not fall asleep.
She was
testing him.
Yeah.
Dekker was really to create a siyog and to follow and to live by the siyog, by the gather. But I don't think Dekker was falling asleep. I think she was tricking him, like giving him an ikker.
That's a good one.
Having him focus on that.
It's very good.
But it was really to test him at the Rabbanon.
Right. Meaning sleep, she knew he wouldn't fall asleep.
Yeah. He already did it.
Because the last time he didn't fall asleep.
Right.
So it was almost like a psych. It was last like, don't fall asleep through the wine. Right. Last time he ate.
And then he fell asleep.
But the sleep wasn't the issue.
Right.
It was the eating was the issue.
Well, she said also the last time you can't go to sleep the last day.
This is really the problem whenever we face the Yetzer Hara, which he keeps facing over and over again.
Yeah.
Is that we begin to rationalize with him. We start to argue logically. And he's arguing logically here. He's saying, it's not wine.
It's impossible.
Right. The wine doesn't work this way.
It can't be wine.
He's rationalizing. He's starting to argue. But if he had emunah, if he looked at it with straight pure emunah, and
right, because who's the helper? Who is the helper?
Was the Masharis?
Yeah.
Masharis before was your seichel.
It's still your seichel.
He's rationalizing, right?
It's still your seichel.
No. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that's when we introduce
him. He asked the seichel, tell me, is this wine?
He's like, in my seichel, it's not even wine. It can't be wine. It's no way, right? And that's the satan's, that's what he calls the satan's deception.
That's the Pesach HaTisrovitz, right?
Sin is just crouching, waiting to get you. To trick you. That's what this, what he's saying is that disconnection from your princess, your personal princess, disconnection from your princess, La Pesach HaTisrovitz, waits for you in deceiving moments.
Right. That's where you have to attach.
That's what the satan is going to attack you in those moments where he says, you daven later. You bench in 2 minutes.
I think the advice is just take it with simple orders. Don't drink, don't do it. End of story.
Right.
You know, don't think about it.
All these cheshbonot and thinking so deep, and well, I'm an intellectual person, I've thought about it, and it's really not a big deal, or
you know. I mean, I think that's like part of how Rabbi Nachman says to try and, you know, serve Hashem with simplicity and purity and joy. You know, don't overcomplicate things. You know, he talks a lot about, you know, no need for sophistication.
Right.
You know, so here it's, because this is the opening of the Yetzer Hara, you know. So.
That's when he gets in and he shows you one thing, and now you're confused. Now you don't know. It's really so bad. It's not so bad. It can't be so bad.
This religious guy is doing it. You know, maybe it's kosher. Maybe it's not kosher. I see them, you know, all kinds of ideas, you know.
Right. Also, when you go into like your, when you're in this mode of connecting or finding the, you know, intentionalism in your Yiddishkeit, when you're in that mode and you look around and you see so many other people that they're not necessarily doing that, or it doesn't appear that they're doing that, sometimes you're like, okay, so then, you know, maybe that's not what you need to do to be a good Jew. Again, overcomplicating things. You're not, just think one foot in front of the other, step by step. Just, you know what you need. You need dveikus. That's what you need. Yeah. You need connection to Hashem. That's why Hashem put you here. That's what the goal is. And so that's the Yitzhar is...
That's his attack right here. First attack was simple taiva.
Right.
Like the guy.
Right. And here's the sophistication.
First thing you face in life is just pure taiva. There's no logic to it. The second thing is that I'm not going to follow the Taiva anymore. Now the Satan has to get more devious.
Did you see the note on 224? Look at the note on the bottom of 224. It's the last note in the chapter. But he throws it in like an agav, but I think he says exactly the same thing you just said. The best Breslover Mashpiyim teach that while the viceroy's first failure parallels the Chet Eitz Hadas, which was founded upon physical desire, the second failure parallels the Chet HaEgel, which was more intellectual or spiritual in nature.
That's the way the Torah describes it.
Think about what was the mistake at Chet HaEgel? The mistake at Chet HaEgel was they're making calculations, right? Kiboshesh Moshe, right? Oh, it must be. Moshe's gone. Now we need a connection.
And they rationalize it. It's Lashem Shamayim.
And we're doing it.
They need a connection to Hashem through somebody else.
They're the kid on the curb. They're the kid on the curb, right? I'm not going to go in the street. And they're constantly looking back at their parents. But that's... That's
right, because those kids that would go in the street, they'd see 2 days later Moshe came back. They'd have charat and no egel, no nothing. They went off, they're back for a month. That's exactly the
bar. Those kids,
they're like, Moshe's not coming back, I'm done with this. Judaism's not for me.
Moshe comes back, they're okay, now it makes sense.
Oops, it's the kid, Moshe's not, we need somebody new. Let's figure this out today.
He's saying it wasn't an immature Aver, it was a mature Aver.
Mature Aver.
It's a terrible
I'm saying immature versus mature.
Right.
It's what Weinberger talks about with as we're kids, right? Our instincts are dominant, and as we get older, intellects become dominant.
Right.
And the chet of the Eitz Hadas was instinctual. And
it looks nice, it's pretty,
that's what he's saying, the delicious, right? Intellectual,
right?
I mean, this is maturity. This is the process between the first and the second is,
which is a good point, which is his first point in the paragraph, is that the place for chet inside of Judaism, right? It's what the tzaddikim struggle with. This is, if everything's Hashem, then what does he mean? Where does it mean chet? What does it mean? Sin.
To grow.
It's the point of it is to grow, mm-hmm. right? The point of the chet, of the mistake, is to grow. If you're not growing from it, then you've basically taken a power or a koach or something that Hashem put in the world, and you're not using it for its proper purpose.
But in order to grow, you can't be asleep. Yeah, that's important to remember. So, you know, somebody can go on and making a lot of sins, and it's just completely sleeping, and the sins are putting them more to sleep and more to sleep and more to sleep.
Right.
So... you know, how did he wake up? That's my question. Like, how did he finally wake up?
Right.
You know?
Right. So there's an interesting line over here. And at the end, he says, after falling for temptation the previous time, the viceroy slept for many years. This time he sleeps for 7 decades. While after his initial failure, he fell into a spiritual slumber. This time, giving up on his ability to free the princess, he forgets about her entirely. Like you said, how do you wake up from that? Mm-hmm. Right, how do you wake up from this? He just gave up. Now you have yish setting in. And now there's a real problem, because now your thing inside of you that's supposed to motivate you to connect is now no longer motivating you to connect. Right? And that's a massive, massive problem. And the last sentence he says, indeed, the viceroy no longer makes it back to the orderly palace of evil. It's almost as if he can't motivate himself. He's so sleepful in life that he can't motivate himself. This time, in the next chapter, the lost princess has to come to him. Somehow there has to be some...
arousal from above.
Yeah. There's some other force outside of his pintle yid that's going to have to wake him up.
Yeah.
And that's when you think about it.
For sure.
If you think about it, if someone's so disconnected, so what they need, because it's so painful usually, is distractions. And the distractions can get so much that you just can do the whole life. Distraction, sleep, whatever you call it, right?
And that's what Hashem does. Hashem puts people through tests in life, you know. And where they don't have any other choice but to pray to him and ask him for help, you know, people wake up that way, you know.
Right. That there's
something from the outside to wake him up.
Yeah, it's very interesting, this flip that's going on here, because the whole time he's came
looking,
to her.
He's looking and he's searching out, And then she has to now...
He was the driver, right. And now he's sleeping. It's almost as if this is the end of his self-motivated power, that drive inside of us that says, I need to connect. There's something out there bigger than me that I need to connect to. And that is intentional Judaism. And that thing that he needs to connect to, he's sleeping. He can't even connect to that. Mm-hmm. Even he can't even muster up that feeling anymore. That's where the next chapter is. She comes. He's just sleeping. Side of the road. Nothing. She comes to him. Now I have to figure out what that is. What she comes to him. That's, you know, that's what I was thinking. Maybe we should combine them. But Lamaisa, we didn't. So.
I mean, he deserves it.
The next two. These are smaller chapters.
He earned that response.
He's basically killed himself, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's made a desire mistake and he's made an intellectual mistake. It's like you failed so badly, right? His failure is, this is a greater failure than the previous one, even though he attacked it in a different way. So he was improving. He did take a step forward because he was attacking the mistake, the eventual mistake that he makes. He wasn't going to make the same mistake that he did before, right? He knew, if there's wine, I'm staying away. That he knew, he was confident about that. So he wasn't making the same mistake, like, oh, wine, great, delicious, right? Looks good. He wasn't making the same mistake. It's a totally new mistake. But even though he gained something by making a new kind of mistake or going up a level in the mistakes that he was making, he's still, this one is so much more powerful because now he's fallen into this off the curb, right? Now he's playing with the guards that were set up, the gates that were set up.
It seems like the power to put somebody to sleep is in the sechel, meaning that now you're fighting with playing with fire, so to speak, meaning a more dangerous type of yitzhak. It can really
tava we could deal with. You're saying tava we could deal with.
Tava you can deal with. You can make the shuva.
That's
but
why
this is more like playing with fire. When somebody is allowing their sechel to make rationalizations,
I think that's also why the misharis never respond.
He doesn't say anything.
No.
Right,
because at the end of the day, it wasn't really consulting a sechel.
Yeah.
It was a rhetorical question.
Oh, you're saying he's making himself comfortable, right. Or like being what's it called?
It's like Morahetter.
He's being Morahetter. So yeah. I thought about it.
I consulted
with my brain, and it's fine. I'm okay. And we do it on a micro level all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
You have like these split second, you're like go through the entire Shulchan Aruch right before you do something and you're like, okay, it's okay. It's fine.
Oh, it's
like you went through the whole, every sif katan.
It's not so bad.
What? It's not so bad.
Not so bad.
No, like in the big scheme of things. And you have like, we do it like, I do it like multiple times a day. We're just like, all right, okay, no, whatever. Oh, it's part of
anybody on a diet does it.
On a diet, exactly. Well, like you think like one mini Reese's Pieces is gonna kill me? It's gonna kill me. I'm still on a diet. It's one little candy. I'm not getting fat from one little candy. You ever said that to yourself? I'm not getting fat from one little candy. Right? This is like four bites later. Yeah, but you don't know this sugya. But it's like you do this. It's a real thing. Marahetter, right? But what is that? Like, who said he didn't answer? You said that? He didn't. That's awesome. Doesn't answer because he's not really asking. He's not really asking his seichel. He just needs to check with his seichel.
Right.
Comes right back to himself, to his own ego, what he's thinking about, what he wants to do, and then he's playing with fire. Okay, Lamaisa, that's the.
I mean, I think that's the lesson. Dude. It seems like you're involved in stuff that's parf neutral. You know, every single day, your business, you're dealing with people around you, whatever it is, things that might seem to be neutral, but that's where the main danger is. But we have rules, but sometimes where it's gray, and we don't know necessarily, it's not so clear the rules between one thing and another. That's where things get dangerous,
right.
Where there should be more rules.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, how did, you know, somebody might say, you know, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to work, somebody could be a workaholic and justify it because, you know, he's got to provide for his family, he's got to do this or that, you know, and he's just sleeping his life away, right? It comes in the shape of a mitzvah, you know?
That's exactly.
I was thinking about the guy that pushes the guy out of the way to kiss the Torah.
the
elbows his way in, ah, give a big kiss to the Torah. But
like
you do it.
The same thing. My gosh,
yeah,
the pushing, right?
Oh, they push them. Yeah.
Right. Yaakov Klein tells a story. He said it was like they were by, I forget where it was, but there was a lot of pushing. It wasn't by the Tzion, but there was a lot of pushing. And then the, you know, people are yelling, you know, don't push, and someone yelled like, push benachat, like. Like, okay, listen, there's a lot of people and there's an energy and we're trying to get whatever, we're like whatever it was, but he said like that was the whole idea. Like you have a urge, you have a desire. I need to kiss the Torah. Okay, but do that action benachat, okay? You could put your arm on the guy and nicely move him over. There's a way to do it, right? There's a way to do it. You know?
Well, we're learning Nitzer. So the Rambam of your rights there. The father and the son need to learn, and the son can learn better. You should teach the son. But then he writes, "V'afal pisha benoy koydem." Even though a son needs to go first, leivatalu. Don't think like you're working your obligations over. It's shame. Shemitzah alav lo moed beno. Kachu mitzah lo moed esatzmai.
You got to remember that.
Very good. And that was like very much like the Meir had to like, I'm working. I'm this. I'm tired. It's your job to be in yeshiva.
Right. You kid. You have to learn all day.
Yeah, and then the Kesef Mishnah on it says, Keecha delay neyma harei oisik leparneis benoi halloi meid velifter even the Talmud Taira the Gamri. Kamash Milan, the like even the tre mitzvahs nenu. Like,
two separate mitzvahs.
That's the seichel saying.
Right.
You had a hard day. It's cold outside. He says you have to do both. He says the Alpha Pisha Benoy Koidme Lo Yivatalu, and the Kesef Mishnah on that says Kihechad the Loy Neima Hare Isaac. Don't say to yourself, I'm Isaac with Parnes Benoy Halaymid Velifter Iu. He's going to be Potter himself. Mitamatayra Legamri Kamash Malan the Lake even the treatment is in it. Two different mitzvahs.
So it's not Isaac mitzvah Potter mitzvah. It's that that you fulfilled your mitzvah. You're Isaac. Don't say you're Isaac.
Don't.
By you supporting yourself learning,
you're thinking
you're saying for Torah learning. There's Torah learning in my family.
I was thinking this squash was I said mitzvah.
No,
maybe.
No, that's the simple thing. But that's usually how it is. Like that's how most people think. Like
you can't I'm busy.
It's like the Yisachar Zvulun. I got the Zvulun, you get the Yisachar. That's not how it works. The Zvulun also needs to spend time. That's the seichel.
That Mora Heter Vart is good. That's a strong Vart. We check with our Seichel. Check with it. You don't need an answer. You just check with your Seichel. Okay, I thought it through. I'm good.
Right? Check that off the list.
Check it off the list. I thought it through. I'm okay. I cheshbon did it and I'm okay. You know, we do it so many times. Do it so many times. We do have split seconds. Wow, split second decisions. You just check.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not waiting for an answer. It can't be wine. I'll be fine. That's a great part. That's a great part about the viceroy. He didn't answer him. Okay, so that's the part. The next time the princess comes to him and she starts waking him up. Okay, Mirtz Hashem.
Mirtz Hashem. I think that's at the end of the 7 years.
Yeah,
was 7 years could have ended earlier. They just didn't wake up right away.
Yeah. I like your. I'm gonna check in Ari Kaplan's.
You have it here.
I have it at home.
Yeah, one of the things that I learned about reading the Rabbi Nachman stories is that they're from the level of Keter, all the way up the highest level of Torah, that it's able to wake somebody up even if they're in that level of out of sight of the 70 years. This is Rabbi Nachman said. It said. I'm telling you stories to wake you up.
Most people tell stories to put people to sleep. Right. I'm telling you stories to wake
you up. And that's one of the advantages of reading these stories.
Mamash.
But if you feel like you're sleeping, pick up the stories.
Open the story. Open the story. And if you feel like you're struggling, open up Through Fire and Water. and read the story of Rabbi Nassim. Then you'll know what's struggling and you'll know what's winning.
Right.
Amazing. I love it. So much chizuk from that book. You just open it up and just read a page.
I know.
This guy's trying to kill him. This guy's burning his house down. This guy's stealing his books. Yeah. This army's in his house. Oh, baby. Crazy book. Worthwhile read. Crazy tzaddik. Amazing. Okay, shkoyach. Shkoyach. Shkoyach for being here. Have a good night.